There will be a prayer team up here after the service if you need some prayer. Don't be embarrassed. We don't have a lot of people come up because I think it maybe it's embarrassing or something, but we have people stand here. Just come up and get some prayer. Isn't that what it's about? Supporting each other through prayer. And so come up and talk with the team, and we will pray for you, whatever your situation may be. All right, let's read our text together this morning. I'm going to read the white and you read the yellow. For what thanks can we render to God for you? For your sake before our God, that we may see your face. Yeah, that's the same scriptures we had last week. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, if you have your Bibles. We're on the subject of prayer. Our subject is a result of Paul saying, night and day praying exceedingly. And Paul, who is God's powerhouse, and I want you to think about this for a minute, he evangelizes the world, he sets up churches, he disciples men around him to be pastors and leaders, and frankly, change the world, right? To Christianity, finds it very necessary to pray. And that really spoke to my heart, because the text says, day and night, praying exceedingly, extraordinarily, beyond usual expectation, praying for the Thessalonians, for their health and welfare. The thing I realize is that it's hard to pray when you're not dependent on God. Do you wrestle with the function of purposely praying or wanting to pray or routinely, like me? And, you know, I get all the emails of prayer, and so I immediately stop and pray. But, you know, the problem for me is that I don't think prayer for any of us is a natural thing. You have to create it and build it in your heart, right? Do we understand that? Because I will pray routinely for those things, and yet at the same time, I begin to slip away from that routine because I start relying on myself. I begin to rely on God again, and I start praying, and then pretty soon I'm relying on myself again, and the cycle goes over and over, and it just frustrates the living daylights out of me. Maybe you're the same way, because dependency is an unnatural activity in us, especially if we think we're self-sufficient. From birth, we're taught and we learn the rules of self-reliance, right? People are telling you, buck up and do your thing and get out there and be what you can be and all those kind of words. In fact, I pulled this right off the internet. You know, be you. Well, who's you? Well, hopefully it's Christ. And from a young age, we struggle and strain to achieve this self-sufficiency, and prayer flies in the face of those deep-seated, misguided values. To many of us, we live in the fast lane, determined to make it on our own. And for some of us, prayer might be an embarrassing interruption, even, of our ability to cope with our own circumstances. But then we all find ourselves in the place of needing that prayer. Amen? Amen. We know that? Prayer is alien to that proud human nature. Yet in us, somewhere, someplace, is a call biblically to pray. Do you know that? Now, I'm willing to bet I can say this, and it covers everybody that knows Jesus Christ. You have that inner voice that's saying, pray, pray, take it to prayer. Okay, I just thought it was me. I'm just kidding. And we reach that point of desperation as circumstances roll out of control. And we may even feel a moment of rebellion as we embarrassingly realize we have not taken the time, we don't have the power or the knowledge to solve our own problems. And so we fall to our knees, bow our heads, fix our attention on God, and simply pray. And all of a sudden, There's a bit of peace in that. Because we realize the truth that we really do not have control over our circumstances. And we need God's help. We're embarking on the subject of prayer, and I'm going to not treat it lightly. I want to kind of maybe hammer this in a little bit because I think it's something that we all need, we all want, but we don't all do very well. Because it's too important for you and me and this church not to be people of prayer. It's time, right? It's time. We've fought this thing all our lives, and we've wanted to pray. We wanted to do these things, and it's time to embrace prayer. And we grow and minister and watch God change the world around us. So let's stop and pray right now as I speak. And then we can look at the scripture out of Ephesians. That's what it shows for my passage today, Ephesians 3:12. Father, we come this morning. We come to you very naked and very vulnerable in our hearts because, Lord, I don't think any of us pray the way we want to pray. And, Lord, we have been taught in our society, and our society totally reflects that self-sufficiency, that I can take care of my problems, just ask me. And, Lord, we ask for forgiveness this morning. We ask for forgiveness that we aren't willing to come to you at every moment, to keep you in our thoughts and pray like you've told us to do. And so, Lord, as we go through this, the rest of this service, will you really bend our heart and help us to see our own need for prayer? In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what the Bible teaches in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Now, I want you to think for a minute. We're in prayer and we have this boldness and access and confidence. Can you imagine what our spiritual enemy thinks when we pray? I think he probably thinks, uh-oh, they're bringing God into the equation. I thought I had this licked. And they're using Christ as their shield. I'm going to go bother somebody else. Now let's look at our verse a little bit closer here. In whom we, that's you and me both, right? In whom we have the boldness, not just boldness, but in the original text, it's the boldness, the confidence, the courage. The freedom of speech is implied in the word, in our intimidating circumstances, and access. We have boldness and access, and that's a word used between a servant and a king, meaning that we have the right. I want you to hear this morning. We have the right to address our king, amen? We've been given that. And then he says, with confidence, with complete confidence and trust, placing ourselves in his hand through faith in him. And it really doesn't quite say that. It really says through the faith of him or through his faith. Okay. Now, do you pray like that? You know, Debbie and Dan Mitchell down here and I went to dinner the other night, and at the end of dinner, Debbie pulls out a gift card. Boy, don't you love those things? Yeah. She pulls out a gift card, and so we ate dinner on someone who gave us a gift card. And I look at that and I think, we could say this. We have boldness and access with confidence through Christ's gift card. Right? Yeah. That's what we're saying. Through his personal faith. And I changed it up there the way it should read. Through his faith. we have access and boldness to God. It isn't through us. See, I think part of the problem with praying is we sometimes think it's because of us. No, I mean, we have a blanket ticket to get in front of our King, and it wasn't due to us. It's due to Christ's work on the cross. Amen? And that's what we want to do, and that's the way we need to think about it. We can tell him whatever we want, and you may say, well, wait a minute, I have too much sin in my... Shut up. Well, don't we do those things to ourselves? We make all these reasons why it's not good. No, we have a gift card to our Father. And gift card, you don't have to be perfect to have a gift card, do you? No. We have boldness and access with confidence through Christ's faith. Complete boldness and confidence. Do you pray like that? Do you pray like, you know, come on, I need your help here? That's kind of bold, isn't it? And there's times when I get up in my study and I start almost yelling at God. You know, hey, come on here. Can't you help us here? Or you don't do that? You know, here's the thing. You know in your heart that God knows you. And don't you think if we stand up and yell at God, he kind of gets a kick out of it? Right? Oh, isn't that cute? Steve's yelling at me. He's even mad. You know, when I ask the question, do you pray like that? Don't get the auto answer. I'm asking a heart question, a real reality check in you this morning. Our heart question needs to be, who or what do we have confidence in? Right? Who or what? Confidence in the outcome or the answer of prayer, or confidence in our God? Because until that is answered in your heart, you will not be able to pray with any degree of confidence. And you certainly will not pray with boldness. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 20, 10 and 11. If you have your Bibles, we'll have it up here. If you don't have your Bibles, the Israelites are wandering around in the wilderness and have come to the wilderness of Zin. Now, Zin means moon. So they wandered around till they came into the wilderness of moon. And that doesn't sound too inviting, does it? And Rephidim, which is one of the little areas in that there, the Israelites couldn't find water to drink. So in their distress, they demand Moses, and we really know it's God, that he answer their prayer or their cry. Not, God, will you take care of us? Will you give us water? Will you help us however you see fit? No, we want water now. Now, as you can imagine, that kind of made Moses mad. So God commands Moses to speak to a certain rock, and they even think they know where that rock is, okay? Because in the Hebrews passage, it says it split the rock. But he has Moses speak to a certain rock and strike it with his rod, which would cause a stream of water to flow out and give ample water to all the people and animals. So Moses speaks to the people, but he's a bit angry. He's tired of them griping and complaining and griping and complaining. And they haven't even been in the wilderness all that long, and now you remember it was 40 years. And I think he's pretty mad because of their blame, and really he's a fairly new leader himself. And he says this, "Hear now, you rebels. Must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out in abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. And I think it's interesting because Moses was to strike the rock once, and because of that, he ruined a good image of Christ being struck for our sin. Isn't that interesting? And he is told by God later, you're not going to go into the promised land because you struck that rock twice. Isn't that interesting? Man, we're so worried about the outcome of prayer, aren't we? Man, and we think we know the answer, we just need to tell them. In fact, in your prayers, you usually tell them how to do it, right? Dear God, start my car, right? Here they are, defenseless and thirsty and weak and struggling with very little trust in God. You know, in 2001, or actually in the year 2000, I actually worked in San Diego and come here every weekend for almost a year. And it was a good thing for our church because we had to delegate. We had no choice, right? And people jumped up and took things. But when I got back... I couldn't find a job for 7 months, and all the money I'd saved up for taxes and everything actually for more than that, all went to taxes and that kind of thing. And I can remember just barely being able to pay our house payment and in the taxes, and I wasn't real happy. It was a struggle for Deb and me to not have an income. And I remember reminding God, saying, hey, hello, we're still here, and we're in need. Fix our problem. And you know, it was interesting, through that 7 months, I learned so many lessons about faith and trust because I had to move from the outcome of my prayer to let God do what he wants to do. Right? And it's huge in prayer. And it taught me about my faith and what I was really putting my trust in. And I think it's funny how we have our little wilderness walks through life, right? You all go through certain walks like that. And, excuse me, and we suffer and struggle and we pray for comfort and ease just like the Israelites. And yet we read God's purpose, and that's to allow suffering to mature us. Just like he did Christ. Even though we try our best to pray that suffering away. Amen? Who wants to do it? We're putting our faith in the outcome rather than in our God to do what's best for us. Especially in light of the Hebrews author proclamation about Christ. I want you to hear this real clear with your heart. Though he was a son, talking about Christ, yet he learned obedience, what? By the things which he suffered. Oh, you're too far ahead. Can you back up one? Or two? It should be 14, slide 14. It's a slow computer. Okay. There it is, okay. Look at that. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Oh my gosh, Christ learned? Christ learned through suffering? And having been perfected or matured, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Is that an incredible verse or what? I remember a while back some relatives of mine who are not believers, and I said something about suffering matureness and building our character, and one of them said, who says suffering builds character? I don't believe that. And you know what? They're not one inch farther in their life than they were when they said that to me. Because they're not allowing suffering to do its work. And the only answer I had for him was the word of God, because God says suffering's good. We say suffering's bad. And we attempt to pray it away rather than walking through it with the knowledge that we're going to become more mature in Christ. And during that 7 months that I was out there with no job, I'm telling you, I really matured in a lot of ways. It's just amazing for me to look back in a mere 7 months what God can do in a life. But we get mad at the way God handles things or doesn't handle things, maybe is the way we see it. As we direct him through prayer to answer our prayer the way we want it done. You know, I've said this before, I quit doing that with God, and boy, has it cut my prayer life down when you're not telling him how to answer the prayer. What do you say? God, help. I need your help here. No, God, I just want you to fix the furnace, you know, whatever we do, and we tell him just exactly what he needs to do. You know, I think he laughs. I do. I think he has a sense of humor, and he probably thinks, oh, that's really cute, but I'm going to do it my way. Lord, give me a job. Lord, take the pain away. Lord, send me a check. Help me to not have any financial problems as I spend wildly. You might remember James saying this in James 4:3. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. You ask, and the word is badly. I love that. You ask badly that you may spend it on your pleasures. So in closing, I want to give you a final question, and we're going to go to prayer. When you pray, what is your focus? Is your focus on God, or is your focus on the outcome? Father, we come this morning. We're so grateful for your word, that you encourage us and you take us through this. And yet, Lord, every one of your saints will suffer. Yea, and those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution because, Lord, you've made it that way. Christ had to suffer persecution. Christ had to suffer. And we have to suffer. And we suffer through this life. And Lord, I just pray that our prayer will be about you, not about the outcome. That you can do anything you want to do. But Lord, we need to have the right attitude according to your word. Is not the outcome, but who we're trusting in. And we trust in you this morning.